Praise the Lord. We're having some computer difficulties, and because I'm technologically illiterate, we don't have a computer tonight. So, Jeff, if you didn't bring a Bible with you tonight, we do have some Bibles in the back. I'd like everybody to see the stuff in the Word since we're not going to have it up there. So if you don't have a Bible, could you just raise your hand? Jeff will pass one out to you. That way when people are seeing what I'm teaching, they can see that it's in the Word. Usually we have it up on the screen. But like I said, I have no idea how to fix what needs to be fixed. And so we don't have it tonight. And one nice thing is you won't have to hear me sing tonight. Praise the Lord. So, but glory to God. I mean, I know that's the best part of the start of the service we've ever had, right? And so glory to God. But, of course, I'm kind of kidding. We don't sing to hear me sing. We do it for the Lord. But we can all sing happy birthday. We all know that one. We don't need the words for that. But praise the Lord. So we'll hopefully have that back up by Sunday. That's one area where your pastor's not very proficient in. Hallelujah. So a couple announcements before we give tonight. Of course, the Durants are going to be here real soon, August 11th through the 13th. Now, we have people here from the Fredonia Church. You don't go back and tell everybody about this now. We're keeping it quiet only because, number one, we don't have a lot of space. And also, if you get a whole lot of people here, it'll pull the service a different way. And I want to make sure that they minister to our people. But, you know, you've heard now. You're free to come. Just don't tell anyone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So just sneak here and don't say where you're going. So praise God. Someday we'll have a building to accommodate everybody. But Jamestown and Fredonia would pack us out. We wouldn't have space. So praise the Lord. Durants are here August 11th through the 13th. That's a Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. If you can be here, be here. There's going to be something deposited into your life. Move of God, and something that you won't regret, and you'll be better for it. And you'll walk out of here saying, my goodness, I didn't even know it could be so good with God. And so make sure you come out to those. It'd be a blessing. And also a reminder, we're starting another church. Praise God. How exciting that this is the first family church that's not started out of the Fredonia Church. We're starting a church in Olean, New York, September 7th. It's a Saturday night. God has put that on my heart. I knew over a year ago when I came back from camp meeting in Canada that I was supposed to start other churches, and the first one was supposed to start this fall. I've just been seeking God for it for a year, and Olean is strong on my heart. It's the biggest city in this county. Of course, we're in Cattaraugus County, and we're just going to go after it. And, you know, we're asking people to seek God. And what can you do to help? If it's, man, you know, I could sign up to go once a month, or, you know, I could go every week for first couple months or something. Just something to fill the seats. So when people come, they don't just see me and my wife there. And you know, Jeff and Michelle said that they're going to come down. So just coming in and see four people, I'll tell you, what's going on here? Nothing. There's only four people. And so it's just nice to have people to fill the seats and to greet people and to be kind and just to go and bring your faith. And of course, if you can't be there, that is a far drive. It would be a sacrifice, but God will bless you for it. If it's on your heart to do it, my goodness, the Lord will bless you for it. But also pray, pray, pray. Pray that His work would be done, His will would be done, that people would come to know Jesus in that area. Amen? We need to take this message everywhere. Glory to God. And so, well, are you ready to be a blessing tonight? Yeah. Proverbs 3 and verse 9. Let's take a look at it. Glory to God. We brought out Sunday morning, you know, that God wants a cheerful giver. If you don't remember that, remember we used the illustration of when you give somebody a gift, you know, you sure like, I know this, when I receive a gift, I sure want the people to be happy that they're giving it to me. Amen? I want people to be thrilled that they gave me something and you know, not grudgingly, and somebody's mad, you know, I had to do this for you, I feel pressured, and that's no fun to receive a gift that way. I'd rather you just keep it. And so we saw that God's interested in us being a cheerful giver, isn't He? And you know, a cheerful giver, and that has a lot to do with motivations, that has a lot to do with our heart, that has a lot to do with maybe the unseen things. And, you know, when it comes to finances, and when it comes to the offering time, I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible says in Matthew 6 that where your treasure is, there your what is? Your heart. And so, you know, people say, well, why talk about money? Well, money's an indicator of where your heart is. Amen? I know this, that there was a time I got in trouble with hunting because I racked up debts on credit cards to buy the best gear, the best bow at the time, and the Lord really got on me because it was taken away from where the trueness of my heart was, which was the local church and the things of God. And so, You know, he says, where your treasure is, there your heart is. And that's motivation. You know, the heart of a man, he's not talking about the thump, thump, thump. He's talking about the spirit of a man, the real man. You know, those are unseen things. Those are things dealing with like motivations, attitudes, and how you really feel about something. And Proverbs 3 and verse 9 says this. It says, honor the Lord. People say, why do you take up an offering? Well, this is why. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits. So it's talking about offering and tithe there. He says, honor the Lord with substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now see, people have it backwards when it comes to the time of dropping in. People think, well, it's just religion. Well, it's just something we do. Well, it's just tradition. It's just, this is what they do. This is what churches do to try to get money. Well, I don't know what other churches do. I just try to follow the Bible. And hopefully other churches are following the Bible. I don't care what everybody else is doing outside these walls. We're going to make sure to stick to the Word. But he says to honor the Lord. And so it's not about when you drop it in, well, pastor talking about the offering again, or let's just get that traditional business part of the service over. Those are wrong motives. Those are wrong hearts. And Lord will see that. And that kind of stuff can't be blessed. But I'll tell you what, when you come with an offering, when you come with, listen, the Lord knows you worked hard. The Lord knows you sweat. The Lord knows that it took time. The Lord knows maybe you put in overtime. The Lord knows. He sees it all. And when you drop that in there, imagine if you had the attitude of, Lord, I'm honoring you with this. You said, and this is how I am, when I fill out my offering envelope, I say, Lord, you know, Father, where my heart is. And Lord, if my finances is an indicator of where my heart is, I want you to know I'm with you and I'm for you. Amen. And so, and I drop that in. I'm honoring him. And so offering time to me is not a religious traditional time. It's not a, oh, let's just get this part over with. No, it's time to be honorable. Amen. It's time to, Lord, this is for you. I just am so blessed to be able to be a part of your kingdom. I'll tell you, We're foolish to think that you can fulfill all God has for you without finances. It's foolishness. They're not giving us the Hampton Inn and Olean and we're renting for free. And they say, oh, you're a church doing wonderful things, saving people from hell and getting them born again and teaching them all wonderful things. Here, have it for free. Nope, they said, this is what it's going to cost. Well, I'll tell you what, sinners are not walking by and dropping it in. Doing outreaches and sending out mailers that we sent out and doing websites where people can listen to live stream and hear the message. That all costs money, and it's not coming from the sinner. It's going to come from God's people. But this is what I want you to see. When you have that right attitude, and you honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all your increase, Lord always has it in for you as well. I'm so thankful. He says in verse 10, so shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now you might say, well, I don't have a press. Well, what's he talking about here? He's talking about increase. What are your barns, your storage places, your savings account, your checking account, your piggy bank, right? He's saying that, listen, when you do this and you put me first financially, there's going to be increase coming your way. Glory to God. And so praise the Lord. Let's make sure our motives are right. Let's make sure our heart is right. And let's make sure we're doers of the word, but not only doers of the word. You know, when I tell Caleb when he gets old enough, to clean his room. When I tell him to clean his room, if he rolls his eyes, it'll be the last time he ever rolls his eyes. I promise you that. Because he's going to get it on his rear end. He's going to say, okay, Dad. And he's going to go, he's going to do it with a good attitude. He's not going to stomp away. He's not going to slam his door. He's going to go clean that room with a smile because Daddy said to do it. Amen? And it's the same with God. When he tells us to do something, we need to do it with a smile. Not just be a doer of the word, but do it with a good attitude, right? Praise God. So let's be a blessing to the house of God. Father, it is an honor. You said it in your word. Right now, it's honor time. Maybe we should change offering tithes and offering time to honor time, because this is where we honor you, Father. Lord, I didn't write that verse in Matthew 6 where you said where your treasure is, your heart is. You put that in there. And Father, it's so true. Father, people's money and people's finances and people's increase, generally the majority of it goes to things they cherish and things they love, whether it be a hobby, whether it be recreation, whether it be a material thing, or whether it be you, Father. And I want to make sure that I live this life with you being number one financially. Lord, I'm going to stand before you someday, and I sure don't want you to say, boy, your hobbies and your recreation and everything that you wanted to do, it trumped my kingdom. No, Lord, I want to make sure you know you're number one. And Father, I would do that just because you said to do that. But Lord, I'm thankful for the blessing that you said that we can have by being a doer of the word. So, Lord, I thank you as we honor you. I thank you, Lord, increase comes. Father, I thank you that all our needs are met. Father, I thank you it may look stormy, it may look tough at times, but it always works out for us, Father. I thank you we always increase, we're always blessed. We give you the praise, we give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, where is it? Here you are. Praise God. Glory to God. Of course, we're not going to stand up. Actually, yes, we are. When the offering bucket goes by, we'll stand up. We're just not going to sing, but we're going to worship and praise God. So go ahead and stand up as the offering bucket goes by. You know, I just encourage you. You know, Jesus didn't have a worship team going around with him. I don't know. If he did, they didn't say it, right? He just preached, but I know he worshiped. And so it's not so much necessarily the music. And the music's nice for God, and it gets us in the flow. But let's just right now, where we're at, let's just close our eyes, and let's just tune everything else out, and let's just get tunnel vision with God here tonight, and let's begin to praise him and magnify him. Father, we love you. We worship you. Lord, you love it when the people praise you, when your children praise you. Father, I love it when my son tells me he loves me. I can't wait to hear my daughter, Abby, say, I love you, Daddy. Oh, I can't wait for that. And Father, I know how much I love my kids, and you love me way more than I love them. And so, Father, I love you tonight. Your child's telling you, I love you, Lord. I bless you. I praise you for your goodness. Father, I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your generosity. I thank you for your patience and your mercy and your healing and your prosperity and your salvation, Father. Thank you so much. And Lord, I just want you to know, in the presence of every demon in hell, in the presence of every angel, and in the presence of every human being here tonight, Father, that I'm in love with you. I love you so much. You're number one to me. There's nothing else that compares, Father. And you be magnified, you be praised here tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's go ahead and let's have a seat. That's how you get into service right there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't even forget any of the words. Didn't hit a wrong chord, and my voice didn't squeak, which all those things have happened. And praise God, just worship him. Hallelujah. Well, I am super excited, first of all of you that came out tonight. I mean, that weather out there, that's perfect weather to me right there. Mid-60s right now. It's getting me thinking about hunting season, and I just got to stop thinking about it because then it'll consume my thoughts, and I'll just be thinking, archery, 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 archery will be running through my head. And so, but I'll tell you what, thank you for coming tonight. You know, the Lord gives me a message. It's for the people. And so you'll be blessed tonight, and we'll learn, and we'll go higher. And you know, the Bible says the word is like, when you sit under the word, it's the equivalent of like a plant or a garden being watered. And, you know, sometimes you can go out there and water a plant and it doesn't change. Or, you know, the rain can come and dump on a cornfield and you can drive back an hour later, a day later, it doesn't look any different. But over time, there's a difference. Amen? And so the more we water ourselves, and again, if we have that attitude, coming to church won't be a problem because we'll know, hey, we're getting watered. We're growing. I might not feel it. I might seem like I walk out of here the same, but my goodness, the Word just watered me. Hallelujah. Praise God, and so it'll be good. And I'm excited about this series. We're talking about healing, and we're going to look at a little review and then get going on what we're going to look at tonight. But I always like to pray before service, and I don't do that to be religious. I do it because, my goodness, you don't want my advice. You don't want my philosophies. You want heaven. And so I always like to include God and just make sure he knows he's Lord of this service. And so let's pray. Father, again, we're just so honored, so delighted to be here. Father, there is no place we'd rather be than hearing your word, Father. Even if our flesh or our mind says, oh, I'd rather be doing this, we know our spirit wants to be here. And Father, we thank you we're going to grow tonight. And by faith, we say we're going to change and be different. And Lord, I just pray that as I open my mouth, Father, you'd fill it and that words from heaven would come forth. Father, not my own word, not my own will, not my ways, Father, but your way. And Lord, we'll just be careful to give you all the praise. We'll be careful to give you all the glory. Father, you are what matters here tonight, Father. Your will be done. Your will go forward. And Father, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I have to commend everybody for being here. Listen, I know Western New York is not the best weather in the world. You know, we get very few days like this compared to the nastiness we get. And boy, to come out on church on a Wednesday night, I'll tell you, it's awesome that people would do that. And you know, Jesus is proud of you. And you say, how do you know that? Well, you remember the story of Mary and Martha, where Jesus came over to Martha's home. And Mary, it says, not the mother of Jesus, but a different Mary. The Bible says she sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. Well, he was teaching that day, right? And Martha, the Bible said, was very busy doing stuff. That actually, the Bible, the word that's used is cumbered about much serving. She was worried. She was anxious about things. She had a lot on her mind. She was busy. And she was off doing stuff, and she kept glancing in, obviously, and she'd see Mary, and the Bible says it made her mad, right? It says that she went up to Jesus, stopped him right in the middle of a sermon, and said, "Lord, don't you care that Mary is not up helping me do all this stuff?" There was a lot to be done, right? How many of you know you have a lot to do in your life? I'm sure you do. I'm sure you have a laundry list a mile long of things you could be doing tonight. Maybe your shrubs need cutting. Boy, you finally could have done it without sweating your butt off out there. Or maybe your lawn needs mowed. Or maybe you need to catch up on work. Or maybe you just want to just watch a television show. You know, all those things, maybe they're there. And there's all these to be doing. And we see Jesus' take on the situation when the word's going forth. He looked at Martha. And she said, "Lord, don't you care? My sister's just sitting down and I'm doing all this work." Jesus didn't say, "Oh, that's right, Mary, get off your lazy butt and go serve and do stuff. And yes, you're right, there's a lot to be doing." No, Jesus said, "Listen, Martha." He said, "She chose the good part," right? He said, "She chose," he knew there was stuff to be done, but he said, "No, she chose that which is needful, the good part," which was what? Sitting and hearing the word. You'll get more out of this than a television show. You'll get more out of this than doing natural things. And we have to believe that by faith, that God's word has that kind of power. And so I commend everybody for being here tonight. Praise God, we're going from glory to glory. Amen? All right, well, let's get rocking and rolling. Don't want to keep you here all night long. Praise the Lord. We preach the everlasting gospel in one night. We don't want to do that. You know, the one minister said this. He said, "The heart can't endure any more than the hind end can take." Right? So we want to make sure that we take it easy on your rears tonight, right? We want to make sure that our rears stay nice and tender and good as we go forward. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's a little different here when you hear me preaching. Praise God. But at least I'm not some stiff board standing up here trying to be something I'm not. I just, it comes to my head, and I thought tender rear, it sounded good, and so I said it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, last week, we saw God's will on the matter of healing, didn't we? We saw in the Word, undoubtedly, that there is no absolutely denying that God is for healing. Praise God. And I truly believe when it comes to receiving any promise of God, the first thing, if you're going to have bold faith where you're going headfirst into it, the first thing that you need to know is if God is for it or not for it. Because he's the one that's ultimately going to cause the promises to come to pass in your life. And if you are in the back of your mind wondering, does God even want this for me? How can you have faith to charge forward with it? Well, we saw last week, remember the leper came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me whole." And we said that's where the majority of the body of Christ is. It's not a "can you, Lord?" It's a "do you want to?" It's not a "could you?" It's a "would you do it?" And so Jesus corrected his doctor and he said, "I'm willing." And that fixed everything and the guy got healed. Amen? So he knew that Jesus was willing. And we saw that whatever Jesus was willing to do, it's only because he was, remember the Jesus rule? It's a whole chapter in the book, right? The book hasn't come out yet. Praise God. The Jesus rule, where whatever Jesus does, it's only because that's what the will of the Father was. It's only because he looked into heaven and saw what his Father wants, so he did it on earth. He was a walking robot. He was a God robot on earth, wasn't he? And so we saw that. We saw that in the Old Testament, God's name, one of his covenant Hebrew names, is Jehovah, which means God or the Lord God, I am. And then the one of the names that was filled in there is Rapha, which is healer, right? He says, "I am the Lord who heals you." So let's not try to make God anything else than what he is, right? Praise God. I'm not standing in front of the mirror arguing the fact that I'm a woman, right? I mean, maybe that's a surprise to some of you. I think I look like a guy, but anyways, I'm not standing there looking at myself and saying, "Boy, you are such a pretty girl. Boy, man, you know, pink dress would look so nice on you, Mike." You know, one time I was at camp, and I was younger. Man, I was always so self-conscious when I was younger. I think that's a lot of the reason that led to you know, I tell my testimony of the time when I was in the, as a 17-year-old boy, I was in the front of my Chevy Cavalier with a loaded 357, and I cocked the hammer back, and I stuck that thing in my mouth, and the Lord gave me a vision, saved my life. Praise God, I'm so thankful for it. But I think that's a lot of the reason I went down that road is because I was so self-conscious for some reason growing up, and this didn't help. I was at a camp, and my grandma has the most horrible handwriting on it, and that leads me to another story. I guess it's story time here tonight, and they kept yelling out, "Michelle Anderson." Well, I wasn't moving. My name's not Michelle. Michelle Anderson, nobody's getting up, and I'm probably like 10 or 11 years old, so I'm like in the prime of just figuring out life is weird, you know, and just what's going on here and everything, and I'm feeling just a little bit bizarre about the whole life thing, and Michelle Anderson, no one's moving, Michelle Anderson, and finally they said, "Oh, Michael Anderson," and I got up, and all the kids, "Ah, Michelle, Michelle," so that didn't help me. One time, my grandma, I have an aunt named Marilyn, and, you know, for some reason grandma had in her mind, she liked to go around the room and watch everybody open her present on Christmas, and I hated that, because if you got something you didn't like, you really had to be a good faker. Well, I got a gift that looked like, to me, said Michael on it. Unbeknownst to me, it really said Marilyn, and I opened it, and it was a pink sweatshirt. And I looked at it, and I didn't know how to react, because I didn't want to make anyone feel bad, so I just, like, smiled, hold it over my face, and so, praise God. Why did I even tell those stories? Oh, looking in the mirror. I'm not fighting with myself. I'm a guy. Just am. I'm not deceived in the fact of, you know, I'm going to go dunk a basketball. No, I can look in the mirror and say, there ain't no way I'm going to dunk a basketball, right? And why do people want to argue with God? He said, "I am." He never changes. If he said in Exodus 15 and verse 26, "I am the Lord that healeth you," then he's the Lord that healeth us in 2013. He'll be the Lord that healeth us in 2085 if the world's still here and Jesus hasn't come back. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people want to fight that and they want to argue that. But no, we saw God clearly as a healer. And of course, we saw in 3 John 2, he said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest," or that you mayest prosper, which we're going to look at starting Sunday, "and be in health," in good health. Praise God. "Forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." Well, that was for back then. My Bible doesn't have an expiration date on it. Does yours? My Bible doesn't have where it says, well, you know, in 2013, it's no longer legit anymore. My Bible didn't say that. My Bible says he's the same all the time. He changeth not. So I'm not going to argue with God. If he wants to be the healer, praise God, I'm happy for it. Amen? Now, if the Bible said he was the sickness giver, and it was his desire to put sickness on you and to keep you sick, well, you know what? To be obedient to that, that's what I'd preach. And that's what I'd believe. But that's not what the Word says. Glory to God. So we're going to look today. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You say, well, I don't need healing in my body now. Well, you might. Or somebody else might in your life someday. And you'll be able to bring this message to him that, hey, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. Glory to God. Right. Hallelujah. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23. Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking about the night of the Last Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and the night of the Last Supper. And this is the story of when Jesus, you know, took bread and when he took the wine and said, well, I'll read it here. But anyways, Paul's talking about the Last Supper and what Jesus said. And he's talking about communion. And if you don't know what communion is, you know, we do communion every so often here. And that's, of course, where we take the bread, which represents the body of Christ. And we usually have like grape juice or something. We drink from that and it represents the blood. And the Bible tells us to do that as often as we remember. You know, it's kind of up to us is how much we do it. But this is what I want you to see in verse 23. It says, "For I have received of the Lord that which was also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Now you're going to see how this pertains to your healing. Verse 24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In verse 25, "After the same manner, he also took the cup, when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." Now, why do I bring up communion? And why do I bring up the night before Jesus is, the night when Jesus is betrayed and taken in? Because when Jesus said something here, he's saying something so marvelous and magnificent for our bodies and for our healing. And people don't see that, and they miss it. And because they don't judge that rightly, they don't a lot of times have the foundation or the place to leap off in faith to receive what God has provided for them. But this is what I want you to see in 1 John 1 and verse 7. Now, 1 John is towards the back of the Bible, not the book of John, but the book of 1 John. And I'll tell you when I definitely want you to turn there. I know it's a little bit different tonight without our things up on the screen. But if you want to turn to every single scripture, you can. But I'm going to read this one, 1 John 1 and verse 7. It says this, it says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another." Now notice this. "And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from" what? "All sin." So what is it that cleanses you from your sin? The blood of Jesus. It says it right there. The blood cleanses us. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 11. Because Jesus did two things here. He did say that when he took the cup, he said, "This is the testament in my blood." Well, we know what the blood was, the purpose of the blood was. What? To forgive us or to cleanse us from our what? Sins. That's what 1 John 1, 7 said. The purpose of the blood was to cleanse us from our sins. Well, Jesus did something else here that night in 1 Corinthians 11. Not only did he say that the cup that he had represented his blood, he said he did something with the bread, didn't he? Now, he broke the bread and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." But see, Jesus' body being broken and bruised had nothing to do with the cleansing, right? Now, the breaking of the body obviously shed forth sins, but he went through getting stripes and getting broken and getting put on a cross. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." Well, what's the reason? You're going to see it tonight. The reason his body was broken for you was that so your body wouldn't have to be broken. Amen. Hallelujah. We know that it was the blood of Jesus that cleanses from his sins. When Jesus, before he went to the cross, he took the lashings and he got beat and his body was broken and he nailed to the cross. That our sins were not cleansed until his blood was shed forth. But all that happened so our bodies could be healed, praise God. And we're going to see that tonight. We're going to see that Jesus' body was broken so that we could be healed. And let me just tell you this, that it's important to see this in the right light. Because people are so often looking forward to their healing. If you're going through something in your body, or if down the road you will, or if somebody that you're ministering to is going through something in their body, they look forward to that glorious day, and they should, of when that manifestation takes place and that thing is removed from their body. But they have all their focus on forward of, "Oh, I sure hope, or I can't wait till I get healed." And they should be looking backwards at the cross, because that's where it became a possibility. Now, don't take my word for this. Don't believe. Now, I really have a really nice divot tonight. I was looking in the mirror before. I said, "Man, that tie, yeah, but I could stick some M&Ms in there." Praise God. And I love M&Ms, so maybe I will sometime. But just because I can get a really sweet-looking divot, and I'm up here preaching behind a pulpit and have the word, don't take my word for any of this. Make sure you see it in the Bible. Too often people get in trouble because they're baby birds. What's a baby bird doing in a nest? Just got those little skinny, ugly necks sticking out there. No matter what mama drops in there, they're going to try to get it down, right? And that's the way people are. They believe what anybody tells them. "Well, the preacher on TV said it. Who cares?" Well, the guy that has the crusades with thousands of people and has written 25 books, he said this. So what? What does the Bible say? Amen? So don't take my word for this. Make sure that it's in the Word of God. Don't be worried about questioning what's in here. Judge things. Make sure you see it in the Bible. That's why I wanted to pass out Bibles for people, because don't take my word for who. You don't want to know what I know about life, right? I can't lead you into anything unless I'm preaching you the Word of God. And so let's take a look at that. Romans 12 and verse 2. Hallelujah. Praise God. Romans 12 In verse 2, it says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed or be changed. Well, then it tells you how you're going to be changed into the right way. It says, by renewing your mind. And see what happens when you renew your mind? It says that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll never, ever live out the perfect will of God until this thing is renewed. Your biggest problem in life is not your spouse. It's not your body. It's not your paycheck. It's not your job. It's what's right between your ears, your noodle. That's the biggest problem that you'll have, because as this goes, your life will go. As a man thinketh in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. Praise God. And how we think in life is how and what our minds are renewed to is what we're going to walk out. And you can see that here. It says, when your mind is transformed, you walk into that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I don't know about you, but I want to live out that perfect will of God. That perfect will of God for my life and for your life is where the blessings are. It's where the healing is. It's where the prosperity is. It's where the victory is. It's where the favor is. It's where it always works out. Doesn't mean there won't be tests, but you'll win. You'll win. That's what that perfect will of God is. And it won't happen until your mind is renewed. Renewed to what? The Bible. Thinking like God thinks will cause you to be victorious in life. Thinking like the world thinks will cause you to be defeated. We need to get to the place where we're thinking in line with what the Word says. If the Word says something about us, regardless of how we feel, regardless of how we think, regardless of what the world says or what the natural circumstances say, that's what we're to believe. And until we get to that place, we won't walk out that perfect will of God. Amen? Hallelujah. You know, the prosperity, of course, the one thing I was so glad about not getting a salary when I started this, Pastor Michael, he said to me, I'm not giving you a salary, and my wife cried. Right, we talk about that, right? He called me up to the pulpit one day and he gave me a verse, and it said, the disciples, it said, when I sent you out, disciples, I gave you nothing. And I said, there's my answer. I'm not getting a salary. And, you know, we just had a new baby and Caleb, and it put us really bad financially. You know the story, $1,200 to $2,000 short every single month. Well, the will of God is that I be prosperous, and we're going to start looking at that on Sunday. The will of God is that I always have more than enough. Well, that didn't become a reality until I started believing it before I saw it. Until I started believing it and believing that I was rich and believing that I was prosperous and believing that I was debt-free, because that's what the Word says. The Word says I will be the lender and not the borrower. The Word says I'm the rich of the Lord. The Word says all my needs are supplied. Well, it didn't look like in the natural. That's where the rubber meets the road and where the explosion happens. That when you can get to the place to say, I'm rich and you're so broke you can't even buy a 5-cent gumball. When you can get to the point and say, I'm rich, I'm well provided for, that's renewing your mind to the Bible. Amen? It's the same with healing. You're going to see that the Bible calls you healed. Regardless of what your body says or the doctors say, the Bible calls you healed. And until you see yourself as healed, it's till you start calling yourself healed, that manifestation will not show up in the natural. So we got to renew our minds, amen? And so we're going to renew our minds to what the Bible says about this stuff, and I'm excited about it. Galatians 3 and verse 13. People are looking forward to their healing. You're looking in the wrong place. You need to be looking backwards 2,000 years ago to your healing. Hallelujah. You say, well, Pastor Mike, I know Christians that are sick. Well, you know what? I also know people that are on their way to hell, and God died for them all. Prosperity can't be. I know Christians that are poor. I say, I know people that are on their way to hell and God died for them all. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to get the Word working in our lives. Amen? Listen, I've been in situations where the Word said something about me and naturally you wouldn't be able to know it. You would not have been able to know by looking at my checking account, looking at my bills, and looking at my debts that I was a rich man. But I was confessing it and I was believing it. Because that's what the Bible said about me. I'm just one of those whack jobs that believes the Word. Yep, I'm a fool for Christ. Sorry, I am. Praise God. You need to be too. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 3, it's like the minister. When I was getting ready to go to Rhema Bible Training Center in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I was on a treadmill at this guy's gym. They had a gym at their church, and the pastor was working out next to me, and I'm on the treadmill. And He says, so you're going to that Bible school in Oklahoma? I said, yeah. He said, that's the one that believes in healing. I said, yes. Because you know healing's not the will of God in all cases. I said, well, that's not what the Bible says. God always wants people to be healed. He said, well, no. I knew so-and-so, and he told me about this woman who loved Jesus, who worshiped Jesus, who served, who was one of the most faithful people he had, and she died of cancer. So in his mind, because that happened, right, I know a minister who and, you know, we're compassionate on these things. We love people. But I know a minister that lost a child, and I can't even imagine what that would be like. Can't even fathom it. But they now have changed their stance on the fact that divine protection is not for the children of God. And because they see something happen in the natural, all of a sudden it changes this. No, it doesn't. We don't know all the reasons. We don't know what that dear, lovely woman who loved Jesus, what she was saying. We don't know what she was believing. We don't know if there was any sin in her life or if there's something God was telling her to do. She kept disobeying and getting on the devil's turf. We don't know that. We don't know everything. That's why we don't pass judgment, amen? That's why when things happen and people are going through stuff, you love them because you don't know everything, amen? Sometimes it's a test from the enemy. Sometimes it's disobedience. Sometimes it's lack of faith. And because we don't know, we love, amen? We don't kick, we love. But we also don't let the natural change the fact that God is, amen? If you hear that Pastor Mike comes down with a debilitating disease and has no chance of living and it takes me out, that does not change the fact that the Bible says healing is for today. It doesn't change it. If you hear that Pastor Mike goes bankrupt and had to go get five full-time jobs to try to make his way, it does not change the fact that the Bible says God wants you prosperous and having more than enough. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's where we need to get. Unwavering. Unwavering. Abraham was called a daddy when he was 100 and there was no son. Yeah. And the Bible says he was fully persuaded. The Bible says he didn't even consider his body. And people are considering the natural and they're considering their body and they're considering their checkbooks. And then it doesn't come to pass and they're wondering why. You can't, that's not faith. Abraham was 99 years old. I don't know if they had mirrors back then, but I know they had ponds. And he could see himself and see how old he looked and he felt in his body, and he had to see his wife every morning. She was 90. I mean, let's just be honest. Not too many 90 and 99-year-olds getting it on anymore, right? That's just the truth. It's not happening. But God said, you're a daddy. I call you Abraham. I change your name from Abram to Abraham. You're now the father of many nations, right? You are, and Abraham was fully persuaded of that. Didn't even consider his body. We look at our checkbook and say, oh, he must not be rich. We feel our body, and we get the doctor's reports, and we look in the mirror. Oh, we must not be healed. You're going about it all wrong. This is your mirror. I used to tell the youth group I led, this needs to be your mirror. What it says, that's the reflection you see. The natural mirror says you're sick. The natural mirror says you're poor. But the spiritual mirror says you're rich. The spiritual mirror says that you're healed. And I'll tell you what. You know, if someone came up to me and said, Pastor Mike, there is a ginormous booger on your nose. Go look in the mirror. And I went and looked in the mirror. I'm not going to argue with the mirror. I'm going to say, that's what it says. The mirror says it. Wow, I just stood out there the whole time, preached that whole sermon with a big old booger on my nose. I got to fix it. Praise God. Just like, why do you want to argue with the Bible saying you're healed? Why do you want to argue with the Bible saying you're rich? Oh, because I can't see it. Oh, you're one of those that need to see it. You're one of those Christians that need to feel it. Oh, you mean you're Thomas? Remember Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, you got it all wrong, man. Because Thomas said, I'm not going to believe till I see it, till I see Jesus. And Jesus appeared and said, Thomas, you believed because you saw. Blessed are those who believe when they don't see. If you're one of these Christians that need to see it and need to feel it before you get it, you probably ain't going to get it. Amen? Because I was prancing around my house when I was broker than a dog. $1,200, $2,000 short. Didn't even include diapers and food and extras that come up. And I'd prance around my house, I'd say, I'm rich. I'm well supplied. I have more than enough. Now, if you'd look in at my situation in the natural, you'd say, he has lost his mind. I have. I've lost my mind for Jesus. And that's what you need to do. You need to lose your mind because your mind gets in the way. People say, oh, they're brainwashing you at that church. You're darn right. We're brainwashing you with the Word of God because your mind needs it. Your mind needs to be brainwashed to the Word. You can brainwash me, God, to your ways. I'll take it. We better get going. Holy cow. Galatians 3, verse 13. Wednesday nights are interesting. That's why these are my favorite services because we can the hungry people come on Wednesday nights. And when hungry people get together, utterance comes out. And things flow more. And things that happened last week, like the word of knowledge with Jim's ankles happened. Things like that happen. Because people are hungry and coming to receive. You've got to love God if you come out on a Wednesday night. That's the only thing I can think is that you really must love God to actually come out on a Wednesday night. Praise God. And so we get utterance and we try to get the message out and things get said. But Galatians 3 and verse 13 says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Now notice this, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So the Bible says, well, we know when Jesus hung on the tree, that's when he was crucified. And when he died. Well, the Bible says that when he hung on that tree, we were redeemed, or one translation says rescued from the curse. Well, it would behoove us. Is that a good one? That fits right there, right? It would behoove us. I don't even know what that means. I just know it fits. It would do us good. It would do us good to look at what the curse is. If we're redeemed from something, I want to know, what am I redeemed from? What am I rescued from? Now, see, people have no idea what they're rescued from. And what happens is, what this should do is put a holy, righteous anger in you that when you see something in the Word that you're not experiencing in your life but was provided for you, it ought to just give you a righteous, just tick you right off and say, I'm going to get that. If Jesus paid for that, I'm not going to put up with this any longer. I'm going to do what it takes. I'm going to get in faith. I'm not going to believe the natural anymore. I'm going to believe the Word, and I'm going to get it. Remember the Syrophoenician woman? Remember, she wasn't a Jewish lady? And Jesus said to her, she came to him and said, Lord, remember now, she wasn't Jewish. She was Syrophoenician. She came and she said, Lord, my daughter is at home grievously tormented by a demon. Grievously vexed of a devil is what the Bible said. Jesus ignored her. Didn't even say anything to her. Then she went to the disciples and said, help me. The disciples ignored her and went to Jesus and said, will you take care of this crazy woman? She came back, said something to Jesus again. He ignored her. And then he called her a dog. He said, listen, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the children of Israel. Remember he said that to her? He said, I'm not going to take the children's bread, which is healing, and cast it to the dogs. He called this woman a dog. But she said what? She said what? She said, Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs. Even the dogs get the crumbs. He said, all I need is a crumb from you. Yes, your children can eat at the table. I'm not a child. I'm not a child. A child of God as an Israelite. But I know this, that even my dog, when I eat, he doesn't get the main feast, but when a crumb falls on the floor, he gets it. And just a crumb from you is enough. And Jesus said, your daughter's whole. I've never seen such great faith. But the attitude she had was, I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get it, and I'm going to get it, and it doesn't matter what happens or comes in my way, I'm going to get it. And that's what people need to do when they see that healing was provided for them 2,000 years ago. When something comes on your body, it ought to make you angry. It ought to make you mad. It ought to make you say, Jesus, you paid for this. I'm not going to accept it any longer. Amen. Don't just be, well, you know, people just get sick. Uh-uh. No. Doesn't have to be that way. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, we are redeemed from the curse. Well, go with me to Deuteronomy 28. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 28. Now in Deuteronomy 28, this is where the law is instituted. Praise God. What is the law? Remember the Old Testament? They had all those rules and regulations. Aren't you glad we don't anymore? We have one rule. It's love. Praise God. Makes it easy. But they had all these rules and regulations. And in Deuteronomy 28, Deuteronomy's in the beginning of the Bible. And in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 through 15, it would do you good to go back and read these. You want to know why? Because the Bible says in the New Testament that anything that the Old Testament people have, we have that and more. So if they had good things in the Old Testament, it's like this. We're in our new house now, and I say, my house now is better than my old one. Well, that means that my new house has at least everything that my old one has and more, or it wouldn't be better. Right? And he said in the New Testament that we have a better covenant established upon better promises, which means that we can have the good things the Old Testament people have, but it's better for us. So it would do you good sometime to go down and read 28, 1 through 15, and these are all the blessings of obeying God's word. Now, from verse 15 all the way, and I'm not even going to come close to reading these, all the way to verse 68. It talks about the curses of the law that happens to people that disobeyed God's ways or God's laws or God's commands. Now, it wasn't God bringing this stuff on them. They had a choice. Remember the Lord said, "This day I've set before you blessings and cursings, death and life." And then he says, duh, choose life, right? It's a choice, praise God. But anyways, Deuteronomy 15 all the way to 68 are the curses of the law. Now remember this, Jesus said we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, right? Well, I'm not going to take the time to go down and read all through these. I'm only going to read one verse. But you go down and you read 15 all the way to 68, and you look at how many times it talks about physical sickness in there, that one of the curses of the law in the Old Testament, when they wouldn't obey, is sickness would come on their body. And it names various different sicknesses, and it goes down and lists in different verses different sicknesses. But if you look at verse 61, hallelujah, we don't have to look at all the individual sicknesses that it lists because it covers them all in this verse. One of the curses of the law, it says, if you disobey my law, it names specific ones, but then it says in verse 61, and also every sickness, every plague, which is not in the book of this law. So he says this, that one of the curses of the law, it's not just a fever, it's not just cancer, it's not just this disease, it's not just that disease. One of the curses of the law is that every sickness has the potential to come on you. Well, Galatians 3 in verse 13 said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. One of the main curses of the law was sickness. Christ, when he was on the cross, redeemed us from the curse of sickness. And if you read down there through too, you'll see all the verses of curses for on their finances. Not only were we forgiven on the cross, we were healed on the cross, and we were made rich on the cross. And until people start seeing their prosperity on Jesus, until they start seeing people start seeing their physical healing back when Jesus was on the cross, they're going to have a tough time walking into it because that's where it started. Amen? And so Galatians 3 and verse 13, let's go back there now that we see that verse. It sheds all new light on us. Because cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. It says, hallelujah, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We can read it this way. Christ has redeemed us from sickness, baby. Woo, glory to God. Christ has redeemed us from it. He's rescued us from it. Jesus said, my body was broken for you. What was it broken for? Your physical healing. Say, Pastor Mike, I don't know. Well, you strap in. Because we're about to go to a couple places that will leave no doubt that Jesus died for your physical healing. Now, there's denominations. There are churches all over planet Earth that the only thing Jesus did on the cross was die for your sins. Well, thank God for it, but that ain't it. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise God. It's like if I go into a hunting store and there's a brand new bow, a brand new tree stand, brand new camo, and they said, Pastor, you can have all of it. Well, I think I'll just take the bow and leave. Idiot. Get it all, right? Let's get it. Listen, if there's forgiveness of sins, woo, I'll take it. If there's physical healing, I'm in. If there's prosperity, bring it on. I want every single thing that is mine. I want it all. Glory to God. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. Let's take a look there. Now, the book of Isaiah, hallelujah, they call Isaiah the kind of like the messianic prophet. He prophesied about Jesus. Now, Isaiah was written between 600 and 700 years before Jesus was even born. He was a prophet. He saw into the future, and he prophesied about Jesus. Now, in Isaiah 53, he's talking about Jesus on the cross. Now, I'm telling you, you need to get this. Everybody just wake themselves up and get this stuff. Because you might not need it now, but you might some other day, and you might need it for somebody else. But in Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says this, surely he, now this is Isaiah, who is saying this 600 to 700 years before Jesus even is born, and he's seeing it. A prophet's a seer, and he's seeing it. He says, surely he, talking about Jesus, has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Now ready? And with his stripes, remember his body was broken? With his stripes, we maybe someday will be healed. We in the future will be healed. We in the sweet by and by will be healed. No, we are healed. Right now, the Bible calls you healed. It's true. And but let's take a look at verse 4. Because when you say, surely he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, that can seem a little blind to us. Well, that word griefs and sorrows, I'm going to save you the Hebrew names for those words. It's like Chloe and Macbob are the words. Everywhere else in the Bible, they're translated sickness and pains. For some reason, when the translators of the Hebrew and Greek got this, everywhere else in the Bible they translate it sickness and pains. For some reason in this verse, which when you see in Matthew what I'm about to show you, you'll be like, what'd they do that for? For some reason in this verse, they put, for that Macbob and that Chloe, that word there, they put in there griefs and sorrows. And the Hebrew word, the meanings for those words are sickness and pains. Now, it's easy to look that up in a Hebrew concordance. Just look up Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and highlight it and go and look up what that word means. And you'll see that it should be translated sickness and pains. So it should be read this way. And if you have a more modern translation, it might say that. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. In the Amplified, it says, sicknesses and weaknesses and distresses and carried our sorrows and pains. So it's saying he bore our griefs, our sickness, and our pains. And now, because he bore them, by his stripes we are healed. Now, if I lost you there, or if you say, Pastor, you know you say that that's what it says in the Hebrew, and that's what, you know, you might say that because you think I'm not really going to go look it up, or I wouldn't even know how to look it up. Well, the best way of the number one rule of Bible interpretation, the best rule of Bible interpretation, let the Bible interpret itself, right? Let the Bible do the talking. Now go with me to Matthew. Hold your place here. Don't keep your finger in there and hold it. Go to Matthew chapter 8. I want to show you something. This is important for you to see when it comes to your healing. Because if you're not looking in the right direction, you're going to have trouble receiving it. And people are not looking in the right direction. They need to see that they are healed right now because of what he did back then. Now are you ready for this? Matthew 8 and verse 16. Now remember, Isaiah just said, surely he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, which in the Hebrew it should have been translated, he carried our sickness and our pains. I love this. This is such a good commentary for this verse. Matthew 8 and verse 16, it says, when evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and, everybody say and. And healed. And healed all that were sick. So let me ask you a question. Were sick people being healed? Yes. And healed all that were sick. Now, are you ready? Are you ready for Isaiah 53 and verse 4 and 5 to be explained by a New Testament writer? You see, Matthew knew the Bible. Matthew had the original Hebrew. Matthew didn't have the King James Version. Matthew had the original manuscripts because the disciples and the Jewish people, they were up on the Old Testament. They were up on studying. They had to learn it from when they were young children. So Matthew now, he says, remember, he just gets done saying, and Jesus healed sick people. Something went off when Matthew saw that. When Matthew saw sick people being healed, a light bulb went off in his head. And this is what went off in verse 17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by who? Isaiah the prophet. He said, this is healing in people's bodies is a fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy, which what did Isaiah say? Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. And it makes me wonder, because what Matthew's quoting is he's quoting the verse we just read, where it says, surely he bore our griefs and our sorrows. Why did the translators of the Bible not know what Matthew chapter 8 said when Isaiah told them what that verse in Isaiah meant? It wasn't talking about Jesus carrying our griefs and our sorrows. It was talking about Jesus on the cross carrying our sickness and our pains. Our disease is on the cross. And that's why it says, by his stripes we are healed. Healed is, okay, let me help you here. People say, well, that's talking spiritually, that I was spiritually healed. And people will fight you on this and say, it's talking about you spiritually being healed from going to hell. You were never spiritually healed. You were spiritually made brand new. God did not put a Band-Aid on your spirit and heal you. He made you a brand new creation. You now, that verse when it says, by his stripes we are healed, can't be talking about being healed spiritually. We never were healed spiritually. We were made brand spanking new. And Isaiah or Matthew says, I see Jesus healing. I know this. I remember Isaiah wrote 600 years earlier that the prophet Jesus bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. Hallelujah. But here's the thing I want you to remember in Isaiah 53. Go back there. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. So you won't get this in one night. If this is the only time you look at this stuff, it'll go in one and out the other. You need to get this in your heart. That's why when I've been in the gravest moments of my sickness, I know that it's not God's will. I know that it's a promise for me to be healed and to come through and to come out better than I was before. Why? Because I've taken the time to get this in me. I've taken the time to go over and over. It says, I am healed. I am healed. It says, he bore our sickness and pains in verse 5. And by his stripes, or what happened to his body being broken, you are healed. Amen. Now, let me go even further to help you. Flip over a page to Isaiah 52. Now remember, this is the prophet Isaiah prophesying about Jesus who's to come in 600 or 700 years. He's seeing it in the spirit. God's opening his eyes to these things. Now, in verse 14 of 52, this is talking about when Jesus was on the cross. Now, have you ever watched a Discovery Channel or History where they have like crucifixions, history of crucifixions, and you know, the people hang there, and it's gruesome. Yes, it's gruesome, but are you able to tell that it's a human being? Well, I mean, you know, it's not a cat, right? I mean, it's gross, but can you know there's a human on there? Have you ever seen a crucifixion where you didn't know that was a human being, or where they portray one? I've never seen one, because there wasn't one except for one. Because when they would hang him on the cross, they'd be bloodied and beaten. Their hands would have nails, their feet would have nails. And it was awful, you know. They'd break their legs so they couldn't push up on the cross to get air. And it would cause them to die quicker. It was actually a sign of mercy to break their legs when they were on the cross for criminals. But you always could tell there was a human being on there, except for Jesus. Look what it says in Isaiah 52 and verse 14. And I'll read it in the Amplified, because the King James, again, it's such the language in it sometimes. And many were astonished at thee, for his visage, which is his appearance, was so marred more than any man in his form, more than the sons of men. English, please, Pastor Mike. Okay, glad you asked. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. Now listen to this. This is talking about Jesus on the cross now. For many, the servant of God became an object of horror. Many were astonished at him. Well, he didn't become an object of horror when he was walking the earth and perfectly whole in his body. He became an object of horror on the cross. Why? His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's, and his form beyond that of the sons of men, but just as many as were astonished him. One translation says, Jesus was so brutally beaten and disgusting looking, he didn't even look human. That's why it says that his visage or his appearance was marred more than of any man, saying he didn't even look human on the cross. Now let me tell you something. When people got crucified, criminals got crucified on the cross, they still looked human. Jesus, it said, didn't even look human. Why didn't he look human? Well, we know that the Bible says that Jesus redeemed us from the curse, which the curse was every sickness. We know that Jesus took the pains and our diseases on the cross. Now think about this. When he was on the cross, every single sickness and every single disease that's ever been, that ever is, and ever will be, that hasn't even been discovered, hit him in one instant. And that's why everybody can be healed, because anything that anybody's going through, Jesus took it on the cross. Why was his appearance not even like a human? It wasn't because he got nails in his hands. It wasn't because he got nails in his feet. It wasn't because they put a crown of thorns on his head. It's because every flesh-eating disease that's ever had a name to it or has even been discovered hit Jesus and started working on his body. Every bit of cancer, every bit of AIDS, every bit of any disease that's ever been hit Jesus so you and I wouldn't have to have it. And what would that do to a human body if every disease in the world was placed on him in an instant? What it would do is it would cause him to not even look like a human being anymore. That's why people were astonished at him. And it makes me just want to cry. I'm so thankful for it. That he sat there on the cross and took all that. Jesus became ridden with AIDS. He became ridden with stage 4 worst, every cancer there was. Every skin disease, every disorder, every mental disorder, every physical disorder hit our Savior. And the Bible says that he became the object of horror. His face and his whole appearance were marred more than any man's. Not because he had any different path to the cross than the criminal on his left and the criminal on his right, but because of what he experienced when he was on there. What was happening? He was getting hit with every sickness, every disease, every sickness. I always talk about the Dufresnes because they're precious to me. Because, you know, in the Dufresne conferences, and we'll have them in our church someday. They're from California, and they're ministers. They have a church out there, and they travel all over the world. Actually, Zach's going to their Bible school right now. He's home for the summer, and they're just such an example. And I hear from heaven when I'm in their services. I was in 12 of their services in the Jamestown church, and I heard start a church in Olean. I finally got my direction on it. And I was in a camp meeting in August of last year when I heard, you're going to start other churches. They have an anointing on their lives. But Dr. Dufresne was an usher at one time before he was a worldwide and world-known minister. And they were taking up communion in the church, and he didn't understand it. And he, out of the cries of his heart to know more, he said, Lord, what does communion mean where it says his body is broken for you? What does that mean? And all of a sudden he had a vision. Now, if you don't know, if you've been with us long or you haven't really studied the Bible much, visions are a normal thing. Actually, it says in the last days they're going to increase for people. That in the last days there'll be more visions. And what visions are is when God lets you see supernaturally into the spiritual realm. Well, Dr. Dufresne asked, Lord, what does communion mean? The roof of the building all of a sudden disappeared in the spirit. Now, in the natural, people would still see the roof. It's like this. When I was in that car with that loaded 357 Magnum ready to take my life, and I had the hammer cocked back, and I had that barrel. I mean, I'm telling you, it was tickling the back of my throat. Instantly, in my car, dropped a neon sign. I don't know how it got there. I don't know if I could have touched it, but I saw a neon sign in my car with the cursive word eternity written with capital letter E, and all the rest of the letters were lowercase, and eternity flashed on and off. On and off, on and off, and it stopped me from killing myself because I knew when I pulled that trigger, I was going to eternity, and I didn't know where I was going. But that was a vision. The time where the Lord showed me on Friday night before a youth group, I'm driving around, all of a sudden, in an instant, I'm worshiping and praying God. All of a sudden, I see myself like on a screen sticking my fingers in some girl's ear. Remember I told that story last week? And telling her, be healed in the name of Jesus. And then it came to pass. Those are visions. People have, it's as the Lord wills. You can't make them happen. But Dr. Dufresne had a vision. The roof came open. And he saw Jesus on the cross. And all of a sudden, because he asked, well, what does this mean? The body's broken for you. What is communion about? And he was on the cross, and he started to see words floating through the air. And the words said tuberculosis. And the words said cancer. And they'd hit Jesus on the cross, and it would jar his body. And he said the words came slow at first, and then they started to speed up. You know, all these sicknesses and diseases that he knows, and they were pelting Jesus, just hitting him. He said there were words he'd never even heard before, never even saw. What was happening? He was seeing what Isaiah saw when Isaiah wrote it 700 years, that Jesus bore our sickness and pains. Isaiah saw 700 years later that when Jesus would be on the cross, that he'd get hit with every sickness, and that his appearance, because every sickness hitting the human body at once. You know, some of those flesh-eating desires or bacteria, they just hit your body and go at it. He had every single one of them hitting him. No wonder he didn't look human. No wonder he became horrific to people. He looked like hamburger meat up there. That's what Dr. Dufresne says. He looked like hamburger meat. Dr. Dufresne was seeing it in the spirit. He said the words started to fly faster and faster, just pelting Jesus. What was he seeing? Exactly what Isaiah saw. And Dr. Dufresne knew, okay, that's what it means his body was broken for us. You need to look back to the cross. Jesus didn't just die for your sins. He died so you could be healed. You say, why would Jesus want you to be healed? Why is it that important? You're the body of Christ. How can a sick person do anything for the Lord? How can somebody... I heard this from a lovely, lovely woman who's a minister who's used by God. She is confined to a wheelchair. This is what she said. She said, God made me this way. Now, if God did that, he ought to be thrown in prison for the worst child abuser that there is. Because I'll tell you what, if I make my kid be in a wheelchair, daddy's going to jail. And the Bible says God loves me more than I love my kids. I heard a Christian at a Christian concert at St. Bonaventure, 10,000 people. The singer got up there and was laughing how he has ADD. And listen, if you have ADD, praise God, there's healing for it. But he said, the Lord has a sense of humor. The Lord gave me ADD. Think about that thinking. How can you go to God? How can you believe God if you think he's the one putting sickness on you? If he's the one putting sickness on people, then Jesus was a disobedient Jesus, because Jesus went about undoing sickness and healing everybody. And the Bible says that this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he would destroy the works of the devil. And we see Jesus going everywhere. You're sick, be healed. You're sick, be healed. You're sick, be healed. Destroying the works of the devil. And people that get this in their mindset that God doesn't want them healed. No, God wants you healed so much, he put Jesus on the cross and pelted him with every disease so you wouldn't have to have it. Say, well, I'm not experiencing it. That's why I'm teaching it. Glory to God. Woo! A little lightheaded on that one. But that's why I'm teaching it. It doesn't matter that you're not living it. You're going to live it. This is the line in the sand where you go forth and it's different from here on out. Your confession changes. Your attitude changes. Your belief changes. Because he died for it. And I want you to see something. In Matthew chapter 50, or Isaiah 53, in verse 10, you want to know how much God loves you and how much he wants you healed? Not only did he have his son killed for it, and of course Jesus had to agree to it, because Jesus said that, of course, he was going to do whatever the Father wanted to do. He was obedient, but he had to lay his life down. But look what it says in verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. When God, think about this. This is how much God loves you. When God was in heaven, watching his son get hit with cancer, getting hit with this bacterial disease, getting hit with AIDS, getting hit with you name it. When God, the Bible says it pleased the Lord. Why? Because he did it for you. It pleased God know that Jesus took all the sickness, just like Jesus took all sin, so that you could have relationship with God. Now God's seeing Jesus getting hit with sickness, and he knows, my children can now walk in health. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, it says that though Jesus was so rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. Jesus became poverty on the cross. Why? And it pleased the Lord. Why? Because the Father said, now my kids can walk in prosperity, because Jesus took it for them. Hallelujah. And people are looking back, or not looking back to the cross, and they're saying, boy, someday I should like to be healed. No, faith says, I got it now. Amen. Do you know that faith shouts now? Yes. Faith shouts now. It doesn't shout when it shows up. Faith shouts now. That hit me so hard. The other night I was in a service Sunday night, and my pastor was pacing the floor, and he said, faith shouts now. I said, my goodness, that is so true. Faith shouts now. Faith shouts before it shows up. That, okay, we want a translation? Pastor Mike, make that simple. You're sicker than a dog, and the doctors tell you there's no way. You're shouting about being healed. You're shouting that Jesus took it away. You're naming what they say you got and say, he took it. He took it. And we'll close with this, Matthew 8, verse 17. Hallelujah. What a life with God we can have. Matthew 8 and verse 17 again. Because I'm going to show you, I'm going to leave you. What do you do here from here? What a life that we have an opportunity to live, to be healed, to walk in prosperity, to be saved from our sins, to be made righteous. A life with God, there's nothing better. I'll tell you what, religious people have gotten mad at this message. This should bring hope to the sick person. This should bring this. Jesus said, I'm here to preach the gospel to the poor, which means you don't have to be poor anymore. Because I'll tell you what, telling a poor person that you got to stay poor till you get to heaven, that's not good news. But he said, I'm preaching the gospel, the good news to the poor. Why is it good news to the poor? Because they don't have to stay that way any longer. He said, I'm here to heal the blind. I'm here to set the captives free. this message, this word of faith that we're preaching, it's not to, when somebody's going through something, to make them feel bad that they don't look like the Bible. Listen, we've all been there. And we all probably will be there until we go home, have moments where we don't look like the Bible. This should inspire us. This should bring hope to us to say, wow, God loves me so much. He did that to Jesus. He allowed that to happen to him. Ought to bring hope. I don't know what they're preaching down the road or in the next county, but I'll tell you what, we're going to stick with the Bible. We're going to stick with the Bible. I'll tell you, one thing I've learned and one thing I say is I'm not trying to be popular. I'm trying to be right. Yeah, amen. I don't want to be popular. I could care less about being popular. I'll tell you what, this message will not make us popular. People will fight you and fight you because when people will come into this church, they'll hear this and the devil will throw hell at them. And they'll say, man, it was sure a lot easier when I wasn't here. Yeah, but see, the devil's trying to keep you out of everything. Look at Paul. He preached it, and he got buffeted and persecuted everywhere he went. But he was blessed, praise God. But this is what, leave you with this now, Matthew 8:17. Remember in verse 16, he saw people being healed. And in verse 17, it says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. From this day forward, And any day that comes, I don't care if it's the flu, I don't care if it's a headache, I don't care if it's something the doctors say it is dire, stop seeing it on yourself and start seeing it on Jesus. Now, you might not get that vision where you see that what you have, but you need to see it by faith, that the Bible says he took it. So you need to close your eyes if it's cancer and you need to say, I don't have to have this. I see that hitting Jesus. Saying, himself took it. You have to see him taking it. You have to look back and say, see him. You have to see it on his body. But it doesn't stop there. Remember we had a sermon one time called, you got to see it, but you got to say it. See it first spiritually. You got to see that you're prosperous. You got to see that you're healed. You got to see that you're blessed. You got to see that situation turning around. When it comes? No, when it comes, that's too late. You need to see it before it happens to make it come. And then you got to say what you see. He said, Jesus took it. You got to see it on Jesus, but then you got to say it. Stop saying, oh, my whatever, and fill in the blank. People are so protective. It's like they pet their sickness. Oh, my cancer. And I'm not being incompassionate on people that go through stuff. There's nothing worse than having problems in your body. I'll tell you, I'd take a financial trial over a physical trial any day because you're feeling that and it causes you to be uncomfortable. But people, man, it's like they pet. Stop calling it yours. He took it. It's either yours or it's his. And you're either going to leave it on him or you're going to leave it on you. And then you got to say, that's not mine. I'm healed of that. I'm healed of that. I'm healed of cancer. I'm healed of fill in the blank. Yeah. And the word will never change. The word will never change. This is the same word that Jesus was preaching. It's the same word we're going to preach. The word will never change because you don't need anything different than the word. No fancy new ideas and philosophies. The Bible is your answer. And if you can get to that place where you are radical enough to believe the Bible and to walk out of a doctor's appointment, where they say, well, this is still in your body, and to walk out there just a giggling away. I love that word, giggle. And walk out of there just a giggling. Oh, they say I got disease, but they don't know. They don't know that Jesus took that. And yeah, it might say it, but you know what? Who cares? I'm going to get it. It's coming to pass in my life. It will show up in my life, or I will stand before God and say, with all due respect, sir, you are a liar. Yeah, and he ain't. Always remember this. It's always on our side. It's always on our side. There's a God side and a man side. God's side was put Jesus on the cross. All the sicknesses hit him. Man's side is believing it and receiving it. Yeah. So see it on him and start saying it. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word.